Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkler. We're going to get Tim Rogers on the line. Hey, Tim.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. It's been a little while since we've talked. I think you've been gallivanting around the country and traveling and enjoying things. And
one of the best things about teaching is having summers off and being able to do basically whatever I want. So I'm really enjoying that part of the work.
Well, I wish I'd get you on the phone more often. I think when this episode comes out, is you're going to be back into the classroom again. You're teaching at both CSU and CU, Colorado State University.
Right? And the University of Colorado Boulder. That's okay. Right.
So another round of students, and you're teaching, I want to say supply chain management, but I think it's probably, is that the right term for the types of students?
Yes. I've got several classes in supply chain management, also operations management and project management.
Okay. Well, one of the areas I wanted to, and it was one on our list of things that we've thought about talking about before, and it's one that I've gotten a question recently about. The question I saw was, we're a small company. We're not Hewlett Packard buying, you know, 8 gazillion of the supplier's parts. We buy some, not a lot. And their part, I'll pick on power supplies to keep it generic, is the power supplies is just not reliable enough for our application. Mm-hmm. And it's the right power supply for the application, but it just needs to be better in its reliability performance. Mm-hmm. The question was, how do I, without the buying power of a big company, influence my supplier to improve their reliability and their capabilities internally? Mm-hmm. You know, so like, and you've done this, is you call the supplier and you want to work on their quality or reliability thing, you get the quality manager who just doesn't have influence in the organization. They understand, they're there to listen to you, but they're not the operations manager. They're not the product development manager. They're not the ones that can actually make a difference. Uh-huh. And there's other variations where...
If they even have a reliability manager, right?
Right.
If the supplier's even big enough to have people who are focused on quality and reliability improvement.
That's right. So in general, though, our customers and the customers of this person asking the question are expecting improvements in reliability over time. Mm-hmm. The classic is we want it cheaper, we want it quicker, and we want it better.
Yeah, right. Or you can pick two of the three and, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Now, is that called the quality triangle? Have you heard that term?
I've heard that before, but I'm trying to remember how it went. I think it was cost, delivery, and quality. You could pick two of the three. So if you want low cost and high quality, you're going to have to wait a while, for example.
Right, right. I think we used to use that as a project management tool to kind of communicate our priority.
Oh, absolutely. So that's scope, schedule, and resources, which is, again, that's part of, you know, the classic iron triangle of project management. So, well, I'm glad you brought up cost, because that is one way to get the supplier's attention. You might offer to pay more in order to get higher quality and reliability. I mean, that is one way of, like I say, of getting the supplier's attention and getting them to focus on the things that you care about.
That comes with a problem, Tim. I've seen that done where they say, you know, we'll pay a premium for this. And then the supplier just inspects it. And they give you they add an inspection routine that doesn't necessarily change their product. They just find ones that perform better on some functional tests. Doesn't necessarily go over time. It's just local.
Yeah, I agree. And you could argue whether their inspection is going to be effective in determining long-term reliability. So what exactly are they testing? What are they inspecting? Does that correlate to the kind of performance that you need with this power supply in your product? Mm-hmm. So it may or may not. So you're not necessarily getting any closer to the true, factors that are going to influence reliability either in a positive or a negative way. So,
well, one thing I've seen a company do is they basically put a reliability engineer on the supplier's site. I mean, they had a good enough relationship that they were okay with, but the supplier didn't have the expertise, didn't know how to hire somebody, they just weren't getting the focus on the capability. And so this team said, well, I'm going to send George over there for 6 months, and teach them how to do this. That's a huge investment.
It is. So if you're the person who posed this question is working for a small company, they may not be able to afford that. You know, right. They may not be able to spare a person to be able to focus on that component. I guess it depends on how important the component is to their overall product. But yeah, that's something you should always consider, is whether it's worth it to you to help teach your supplier what you already know. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, a lot of people go into these supplier relationships assuming that the supplier has expertise in a particular area, particularly with regard to the reliability of their product.
And well, that's just not necessary.
Yeah, but it's not necessary.
You know, Tim, they're experts. They designed it. They make it.
That's a reasonable assumption to make. Absolutely. And yet, not a good assumption in all cases. So you got to look at that and say, is it worth it to us? Are we getting, you got to look at everything you're getting from this supplier. You're getting a product, you're getting a delivery by a certain date, you're getting a certain price, you're getting something from this supplier in addition to getting a level of quality and reliability. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it to you to continue working with this supplier and to actually coach them up in quality and reliability? Is it worth it to you? It might be. You might be getting everything else about the supplier is great. There's just this one thing that I wish they could improve on.
Yeah, and we've seen that over the years, is where it's this process control, for example, is they just, if they could get that part of the process under control, and they go, what's that? Or back, and you can go teach them that in a relatively short time and monitor it, or a measurement system or whatever.
It's the kind of thing that they can apply to their other customers. Mm-hmm. So it has benefit to them. It should have benefit to them in their business as a whole, not just in their business relationship with you as a single customer.
Now, I did work with a very short-sighted manager once that says, there's no way you're going to go help this customer solve this problem. He says, it's an important part. We need this component. We need this vendor. And he says, no, but they need to learn that they just need to fix this. And he says, what? How are they going to do that? He says, well, if you teach them it, they're going to use it to the benefit of all the other customers.
That's true.
And there are competitors. You can't do that. You can't help our competitors. And
I understand that point of view, but yeah, I think it's worth the risk. Yes, if the same supplier is selling this product, this component to your competitors, yes, your competitors will benefit. But it may be the only way that they're going to get it. Mm-hmm. Again, is it worth it to you?
What we could do is send little letters to our competitors saying that the supplier really needs a good course in something or another, and maybe set up a training company. Yeah.
Yeah. And get your competitors to pick up the cost of the training.
Yeah. Right. And if we keep waiting for that, it's going to get optimized to what their concerns are. So they may use it a slightly different way.
That's a good point.
You know.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So you have an opportunity to influence how this turns out. And, you'll get some lead time. You may, you may actually be able to win some other concessions from your supplier in exchange for your training. So you might be able to get something in return besides improvements in quality and reliability. So,
well, we've talked about it before, Tim, is those intangible parts of where you build that relationship, and training is a great way to spend time with a variety of people in their organization.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Where they get to know you and trust you. And so when you call, even if you're a smaller team, you call, you know their name, you know, who they know who you are. They are going to pick up the phone.
I've always believed it's harder to ignore somebody's email if you've actually had lunch with them.
So that's why you guys in procurement always do lunches.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's why we spend so much money on international travel, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to that. It's to build that personal relationship. I think it makes a huge
difference.
It does. Yeah.
It's hard to quantify. That's the problem. It's hard to quantify.
All right. So there's, I mean, you mentioned money, there's build a relationship, do some training. Mm-hmm. How do you get there? I mean, just offering more money, if our volumes are not that great, if it's, you know, an insignificant amount to garner their time.
Right.
Part of it would be, I would think an argument would be, let us help you improve that reliability, or we want you to improve that reliability because of the roadmap of this technology and the future products is locking in future sales. So things like a commitment that if you hit these milestones, we're going to continue to, you know, sole source from you or something like that. Is that kind of the thought process?
Yeah. That could work. Or you could offer a longer term contract. You could offer, enter into a blanket PO, a blanket purchase order, instead of doing spot orders. So again, you got to kind of put yourself in the shoes of the supplier. What are they looking for from this relationship? And one of the things that suppliers really like is having some reducing the risk of future business.
So stability in the order processing flow or it helps. I know from working in a manufacturing plant that if you have a customer all of a sudden drop a huge order on you, it's a good news, bad news thing, because now we're allocating to everybody else, or we're working overtime when we didn't plan on it. And it's just a mess. It's a good thing to have.
If you know that you're going to buy a certain number of power supplies over the course of the next year, then you can enter into a longer term contract. We are going to buy this many power supplies over the course of the year. Let's talk about our delivery schedule. Let's talk about how that gives the supplier an opportunity to schedule their capacity. So instead of getting an order, you know, inconsistent orders at different times during the year that are hard for them to plan, now they can actually plan. Now they know what your demand is going to be and what your delivery schedule looks like, and then they can plan their capacity accordingly.
And then you leave, I imagine part of that discussion is then saying, all right, well, next March, we think we're going to need 100,000 power supplies, yet in mid-February, we'll refine that plus or minus 10%.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
Right. So you're not locked in for the year, but you give them here's what we expect it's going to be. And then you have different milestones where you refine it as you go.
Right.
Yeah.
So now they have confidence that there is going to be demand that they can trust, that they can believe in. And that is worth something to that supplier. Even if you're small, you don't have to account for 20% or 30% of their total capacity, but you have provided a certain level of consistency and confidence about future business.
Well, how about, I mean, if we want them to improve their reliability part of it, I know in working with products is getting good information back from the field of how is it being used? What are the failures we're seeing? What are the where's the issues? That may be another area, is to provide the failure analysis, or provide here's the unit that's failed and here's the conditions under which it failed, and saying, you know, our roadmap is saying we want to move into this hot, humid, well, I guess it'd be dry and humid in your world, with ants coming indoors. If they don't know that, it's hard for them to know how to improve their designs to, like fire ants. If they don't have a fire ant test in their program, and they don't know that ants are causing problems, they're not mind readers.
Yeah, right? I see where you're going. I think it is important to be specific in your feedback and in your requests to the suppliers. You can't just walk in and say, we need higher reliability. I think you got to walk in and say, these are the specific, here are the problems that we are seeing with our products mm-hmm. in the field. These are the reliability issues that we're dealing with. These are the specific components that we believe are causing the problem. And this is the kind of performance that we need. Mm-hmm. You got to make it concrete. You can't just, you know, wave your hands and say, we need to see some improvement. You have to make it specific. I believe you need to make it specific. You got to show some examples. I think it also helps if you can make it clear the kind of pain and suffering that you are going through, that your customers are going through mm-hmm. as a result of not having the required level of reliability. So, mm-hmm. you know, you might listen to that and say, well, why should the supplier care? Well, and maybe that's true. But again, I think making it specific gives them something more concrete to think about. We are losing this much money per month on customer calls and repairs and field failures. This is why it's important to us. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I need your help. I need the supplier's help in order to address these issues. So I'm not just talking, it's not just because we're on a reliability kick this month. It's not because the boss or the VP or whoever has decided that reliability is the issue of the month.
This year's focus is reliability. Yeah.
Yeah. This, you know, next quarter, we're going to be complaining about cost. Right. This quarter, we're going to complain about reliability. No, this is, here are the specifics. And again, making it clear why it's important to you and the money that it is costing you and your business. Again, a supplier could look at that and shrug and say, well, that's your problem. It's not our problem. Well, and again, you got to ask yourself, is this a supplier we want to continue to do business with? If your supplier really does not want to participate in helping to solve your problem, mm-hmm. I think you got to ask yourself that question. You know, depending on what it is you're buying. Again, it goes back to what I said at the beginning. What are you getting from this supplier? Mm-hmm. You may be getting a great price. You may be getting great delivery terms. They may be fantastic in all other ways. It's just this one area. Mm-hmm. So you got to ask yourself, are you prepared to leave this supplier if they're not willing to improve in this area? Mm-hmm. How much is it really costing you? Are you really getting a good total cost of ownership for this component?
Well, it goes back to where we invest in improving reliability. It may be worth spending that $100 with the supplier mm-hmm. But it also is based, and we've talked about it before. I should track down what episodes they were and put them in the notes. It is build that relationship first.
Yeah.
And if it's an important, it's not you're not buying bolts down at the local store to put together a chassis. You've got investment with this supplier that may be partially designing that system.
That's right.
You know, you're partnering with them is, I think, the way it should be said.
Yeah.
And if we need them to improve reliability, I think just telling them the story of how bad it is and stuff, to me, that comes across as a threat. You know, mm-hmm. We're going to leave you if you don't fix this. It's, mm-hmm. I think that's a motivation for it. And here's how much we're willing to invest in it, because this is the payback as we avoid this pain or these costs.
Right. I think there's a way to present that to a supplier without coming across as a threat.
At lunch, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. once you figured out who's picking up the check. So I think there is a way to express that as a shared problem. This is a problem that we share, and mm-hmm. we want mm-hmm. to work with you to try to address this problem. Mm-hmm. I don't think you have to explicitly threaten them. I think that should be understood at all times mm-hmm. that as the customer, you always have that in your toolbox. You know, you can always, in theory, change suppliers.
Right.
And so
the stronger the partnership is, the less that's a threat. It's not a threat. It's this, hey, you shift it now, the discussion to, you know, here's the problem of the week here. We've got these issues coming up. Part of that we think is part of this part you're supplying. Mm-hmm. Let's figure out what we can do to make this better. And if it's a reliability or quality issue, it may be we know how to do SBC or a measurement technique to improve their process. They may have a technical insight that could help the design have more robustness. I mean, as soon as the discussion turns, and you've seen this, is if some suppliers, if they understand what the problem is, you know, we do the failure analysis, we give them the chemical analysis, and they go, oh, I know exactly what that is. And they
yeah.
go off and run the experiment and solve it. Whereas some just don't have that capacity to do a scanning electron microscope tear down of something.
right. Sure.
Right. And so we're going to give some information. It's an investment of us, our engineering talent to help you solve this problem. And the incentive is that they learn, they improve their product, they have a stronger product line or capability in-house.
Yep.
But it doesn't have to be that. It could be price, it could be training, it could be terms on the purchase contracts and
sure.
things like that.
Payment terms, yeah.
Yeah.
And again, going back to what you said at the beginning, Fred, you don't want to accept answers like, well, we're just going to do more testing and inspection. So you need to ask, when you're engaged in that conversation with the supplier, you need to understand what steps they are planning to take.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that's what they come back with, that's obviously not good enough. You need to be satisfied with whatever they propose.
Yeah. You mean testing it in is not good anymore? I thought that was the way we did business.
Hard to believe. Yeah. I know. And we know that, but they don't necessarily know that, right?
Right.
Again, you may need to do a little bit of training. You may need to help them understand the difference between testing and inspection versus process control.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's ask our listeners. It's, how do you deal with your suppliers? How do you get them to provide an improved reliability capability for the components they're providing? And it's not just the components themselves. I think that's the end game. It's, are they asking the right questions? Are they mm-hmm. monitoring the right things? Are they designing it for reliability, among other things? And how do you deal with that? What kind of tips or tricks or stuff, or what challenges do you have? Tim and I would love to hear from you. Head over to reliability.fm. You can find the Speaking of Reliability show and the show notes. But leave us a comment. What's working for you or what's not? And what questions do you have? And I'm going to hold you, Tim, to getting on the air more often with me so we can address those.
Sounds good. I look forward to it, Fred.
All right, great. Well, thanks so much, Tim. We'll talk again soon.
Very good.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.